All right, good afternoon. With that conversation, I should just go ahead and conclude, and we'll just go home. No, good to see you folks out again. You survived lunch, and I mean that in a good way, because it's hard to be awake after a wonderful lunch like that. So we appreciate the ladies and the man and all the preparation that goes into that. We really appreciate it. We are starting this afternoon a new series. I hope that this series is not going to be too cumbersome. I hope that it's not going to go too long. It's something that's kind of been on my radar for areas that I wanted to focus on, because I know I can use it. And starting today, we want to look at a few different lessons and messages designed to help us in our Bible teaching. And so the title of the series is How to Teach the Bible. And this morning, or this afternoon, I would like for us to make our way over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to use one verse to launch us into our study, and then we'll explain more about that as we get into the lesson. But in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 2, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 2, a very familiar passage to us. Paul is writing to Timothy, and as he writes to Timothy, he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others." And so here Paul is laying down the gauntlet that, you know, we need to have folks that are capable of teaching the truth to others. And so the title of this series is How to Teach the Bible. And specifically today, we want to focus on some preliminary considerations. It's good for us to focus on fundamental elements of service. None of us really at any given particular time in our lives are where we should be. We can't say that, well, I've fully arrived. There's nothing else I can learn. I don't need to go back and be reminded and reconfirm some things. There are always areas in our lives where we can go back and we can strengthen some things, and we can be revitalized in some areas. I think that this is one of those areas, in teaching the Scriptures. Now, teaching, we ought to have agreement on, is a primary function of the New Testament church. And if it's a primary function of the New Testament church, then we need instruction on how we should be doing that. So this series, I hope, will highlight on some fundamentals of teaching. We're going to focus on different aspects. I don't know that I've ever heard a message dealing with how we should teach children in Sunday school. I know that when Darlene and I were out at Lehigh Valley, there were some Bible Institute classes, and Darlene was reminding me about some classes that she took with Brother Anger on fundamentals of teaching, teaching methods, right? So these are areas that we really don't focus on, and yet, you know, I'll point out, not as often as I should, but I'll point out in the men's prayer meeting, hey, let's be praying for Tina or Carol or Darlene, who'll be teaching the young ones today. So we don't focus on that, I think, as much as we should. We don't really focus on somebody who's a layperson and says, hey, I'd like to teach Sunday school. I'd like to teach a class. We really don't focus on those things. How do I present a book study from Scripture? We overlook those things, and we don't give them the attention that we should. And so these are some areas that in my own life, obviously this is my calling. I need to be reminded of these things, and so I hope they'll be a blessing for you as we consider them. I will let you know that some of the information that we'll be considering is going to be taken from our homiletics classes that we covered 10 years ago now, hard to believe, 10 years ago on Bible homiletics, which is the art of sermon preparation. And there are some differences between sermon preparation and teaching, but there are a lot of similarities as well. So we'll take some of our information from that. So with that thought in mind on just giving you a little precursor of what we want to cover in this series, How to Teach the Bible, I've already mentioned to you that today we're covering some preliminary considerations. And so there are three preliminary considerations that I want us to think about today that will help us in preparation for teaching, right? So I'll give them to you, and then, as is our case usually, we'll go through them individually one at a time. So three preliminary considerations that will help us in our preparation for teaching. First of all, each of us, if we're going to be involved in teaching, we have to embrace the importance of teaching. We have to embrace the importance of teaching. Secondly, we have to evaluate our personal inventory. And I'll explain what I mean by that. And thirdly, it's imperative, again, if we're going to be involved in teaching the Bible, that we equip ourselves after we've been instructed. Right? We have to take the tools that we're given and stick them in our tool belt and have them available as resources for us. Otherwise, all we're doing is, you know, I'm just blathering, and we could go ahead and end now. Don't say it. please do. So these three preliminary considerations in preparation for teaching. So let's look at the first one. The first consideration, very simply, and I thought about how I wanted to kick off these series of lessons. I don't think there's any other way to kick it off than talking about the importance of teaching. Why are we even thinking about a series that focuses on how to teach the Bible if it doesn't matter whether that's an important function of the church or not? So first of all, we have to embrace the importance of teaching. What I aim to get across here, and what I would implore each of you to consider and embrace, is that this subject deserves our attention. This is not just a flippant topic, right? This subject deserves our attention. The area of teaching deserves our attention because God deems teaching His Word important. Would you agree? He does. He does deem the teaching of His Word important. So we have to embrace the importance of teaching. And I just want to give you quickly here, before we move on to the second preliminary consideration, I want to give you really five different reasons why we should embrace the importance of teaching. So first of all, we should embrace the importance of teaching by understanding what constitutes teaching. We have to understand what constitutes teaching. Now, this is not new to you. We will go back to some material that we've covered through the years, and certainly we covered this in our homiletics class in Bible Institute. There is a difference between preaching and teaching. Now, I want to have these classes back here for a number of different reasons. First of all, it's after lunch, and I understand the challenges that we face. It's just respectful to the speaker. It's respectful to God that we pay attention. And I know that that's hard to do with a full stomach after lunch. I'm observant, okay? And I know how much more so it's hard to do when we're sitting in there and you're just listening, right? So number one, I think this gives us a venue. If you need to stand up, I'm not opposed if you want to get up and get a cup of coffee or whatever. If you need that to be able to stay engaged, please feel free to do that, okay? Secondly, I want this, although not the same construct as our Sunday school, I want there to be some interaction. Like, so I'm going to ask some questions, and you're going to have the ability to ask questions of me. I'm not going to assign homework like we do in Sunday school. It's going to be a little bit different there. But I want this to be interactive because I think that's best for our learning, right? So this is not going to be a traditional preaching series. Right? So I want us to understand that off the bat. So having said that, there is a difference between preaching and teaching. There are 10 verses in Scripture that use both of those words, preach and teach. But I just want to toss it out to you. What is the difference between preaching and teaching? Anybody? Even Brother Steve Harris. What's the difference between preaching and teaching?
Preaching would be presenting the Word of God that the Lord may have heard me, the individual preacher, who is the Word of God.
Okay, so we're family, right? So we already know we're not offending anybody, we're not hurting anybody's feelings. So it's some follow-on questions. If I'm burdened, let's say that I see something taking place in the church, and I feel like I need to address that. As the pastor, right? Do I have to do that through preaching? Can I do that through teaching? So then they're really not, it's not really the burden. Because I could be burdened and teach. You follow me? Does everybody follow me? Let's say, for instance, I notice that before Sunday school or before the morning service, Brother Steve and my other brother Steve are outside dipping snuff before the services, right? And they come in and they got snuff juice all over their chit, right? And I say, it's not right. You shouldn't come into the Lord's house with snuff juice all over your chin. So then I could handle that a couple different ways. I could say, hey, you know, this is wrong. I'm not giving an indication of my thoughts on snuff juice. I'm just using that as a silly example, right? I could teach a lesson on the harmful effects of snuff. Either way, I would be burdened. You follow me? Either way, I would be burdened that this is a situation that we need to address. Likewise, if Tina's teaching the young people, I hope that she's burdened about what she's teaching, right? And it's not just a flippant, oh, I'll just teach on this. There's a, hey, what should I cover? What do I? She's praying about what she should cover. You see what I'm saying? So I think that it goes a little bit deeper than this. The difference between preaching and teaching. Is the difference between preaching and teaching just in the delivery? I'm preaching! Come on, brother, I'm preaching! As opposed to, I'm going to teach you the Bible now. So is it just a difference between presentation? It's not a difference in presentation. It's not. Okay, but so again, and let's just play this out. So, as a man called of God to preach, if I teach, does not the Lord give me the message that I teach? Say, Brother Layman, who's not called. Right, but it's still... No, and my contention is so is the teaching. It's all given of the Lord. Right, so Brother Layman, who's not called to preach, says, I'm available to fill in on Wednesday night while you guys are out of town. Are we now saying then that what he teaches doesn't have to be given to him by the Lord? Because he's not preaching, he's teaching. You see the problems that we run into as we define preaching and teaching? Did you want to say something? You can't back out of Wednesday, by the way. So. Go ahead. Yes. 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 Here's your basic difference. Here's your basic difference. Preaching is an exhortation to take action on the word. It's an exhortation to take action on the word. Teaching is a line upon line, precept upon precept version of presenting the word. Do you see the difference? Preaching is an exhortation to take action with the word. Teaching is a line upon line, precept upon precept, transmittal of particular elements of truth. I can teach without preaching. I can hardly ever preach without teaching, right? So there's a difference, and it isn't just the demonstrative performance of being able to preach the word. It's what we're accomplishing by bringing forth the word, right? So preaching involves an exhortation to a particular action, whatever that action might be, right? So we preached a couple weeks ago on the subject of abortion, Well, there was a purpose in that. The purpose of the message was not just to transmit particular elements of what abortion is and the new laws. The purpose was to urge you to do something about that, whether it be to get on your face and pray, whether it be to speak to others about this, whether it be to write your congressman or your senator, but to do something with that. Whereas teaching is just a transmittal of the elements of the truth. Do you see the difference? And there clearly is a difference. And if there's not a difference, then the scripture would not say in multiple times that Jesus went and he preached and he taught. They're different skills. They're different items. Preaching involves telling to provoke evaluation. Listen to what I'm saying. Is it true? Is it real? If it's what the Bible says, then you are moved to a particular action. When we preach today on Noah, preacher of righteousness, was the purpose of the message just to transmit particular elements about Noah being a preacher of righteousness? No, it was to move us to be a preacher of righteousness. If I'm a teach about Noah, I would say, okay, now Noah built the ark and he built it out of this wood and it took him this amount of time to build it, and I'm just giving you particular elements of truth. We're not urging you to do anything with that. Do you see the difference? Because in order to move forward, we have to understand the difference. Are you a preacher or are you a teacher? Well, ladies, you're not preachers, but you can be teachers, right? So it's important for us to understand the difference. Teaching, laying precept upon precept, line upon line, in a logical manner. Now, do you understand why I said that it's hard to preach without teaching? Well, how can I urge you to a particular action if I haven't taught you the truth? See, a lot of cults, people will preach, but they lack teaching. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Well, they're not teaching the word. They're just urging you to take a particular action, and therefore people wind up doing all sorts of crazy things because it's not based on the truth. I can't urge you to take an action unless that action is a result of the truth, right? So there's a difference. We have to understand what constitutes teaching. Ladies are not called to preach, but you can still teach. You can transmit the truth and do it in a way even where you, on a one-on-one relationship with somebody, you're having an impact and you're making an impact on that individual's life, right? So we have to embrace the importance of teaching. Do you understand why it's important? Because you're transmitting the truth. You are line upon line, precept upon precept, transmitting the truth of God's word. How does that get done? It gets done through teaching and preaching. Okay? Questions, thoughts, disagreements, anything of the sort? Okay. So we understand what constitutes teaching. The second reason that we ought to embrace the importance of teaching is because it was one of Jesus' primary communication methods. It's one of the Lord's primary communication methods. There are many verses that I could read, but just listen to this one for time's sake. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So you notice that Jesus was teaching and preaching. Teaching was one of the primary communication methods of the Lord. So let's look at it like this. As a person that's called of God to preach the word, okay, I also have to be a teacher of the word. Just like if you are a manager, you also have to be a leader, right? So you have leadership and management. You lead people, you manage things. You have to have both of those, and you have to have the ability to do both of those. Well, in presenting the word, a person who is called of God has to have the ability to do both. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And so it's very clear. This was one of Jesus' primary communication methods. Read the four gospels and read how the Lord again and again taught the word of God. He transmitted particular elements of truth, and of course he preached it as well. He called people to action. How about this as why we should embrace the importance of teaching? Teaching is an element of the Great Commission. Right? So we understand what constitutes teaching. That shows us why it's important. It's the transmittal of truth. It is one of Jesus' primary communication methods. And thirdly, it is an element of the Great Commission. Who was the commission given to? The church, the New Testament church, right? So in the giving of the commission of the New Testament church, Jesus gave the church her mission, what she's supposed to do. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20, a very well-known passage of Scripture, the Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So how is it that you know what you're supposed to do? By the teaching of the Word. You know. So the Lord said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. How do you know what is proper baptism? You're taught. You say, well, I read it in the Bible. Well, yeah, you did read it in the Bible, but you also had somebody expound the Word. Right? So you were taught. And when you're taught, you're told, go back, study the Scriptures, and see if this isn't the case. Right? So for scriptural baptism, you got to have a proper mode, you got to have a proper authority, you got to have a proper candidate, you got to have a proper reason. Scriptural baptism. Well, how do you know that the proper mode is not pouring? How do you know that? You say, well, the Bible tells me. Well, okay, then give me a bunch of Bible verses that tell you that. Of course the Bible tells you that, and you've been taught. Hey, go, look at it. See if this is not the truth. Examine it. Look at the Greek word for baptize, baptizo, to dip, to immerse. So you're taught these elements of the truth. You know you should tithe. Why do you know you should tithe? Did you read that in the New Testament somewhere? You've been taught. You read it, and you're taught what this means. You're taught the Word of God. The Word of God is expounded unto you. And so who does this? The New Testament church. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Okay, so in this location, who's the New Testament church? We are. We are. So how do we fulfill the Lord's commission? We got to be teaching the Word. Is that just me? It's not just me. It's others. Right? So we're giving you reasons why this is important. It isn't just, oh, okay, Brother Mel's out of town. Now I got to fill in and teach. This is the mission of the church. It's an element of the Great Commission. And so teaching them to observe all things. How about this? We ought to embrace the importance of teaching because it is committed only to faithful servants. It's committed only to faithful servants. So the real question is, do you want to be classified as a faithful servant? Are you one that Paul could have had in mind in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Because remember what he said by way of writing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou who? To unfaithful men? To unfaithful church members? Commit thou to faithful men. And of course, I believe that that's a generic term there. I believe that it also applies to faithful women. Who shall be able to teach others also? So, who are those faithful people going to be that we can entrust the teaching of the Word to? I hope that our attitude at Tabernacle Baptist Church isn't that, okay, we got a couple of young kids, we have to have somebody to teach, and so anybody will do. Surely that's not our attitude. Surely we want people that are faithful to teach the Word. So you have to embrace the importance of teaching. It is only committed to faithful servants. This isn't something that just anybody gets to do. It isn't that, oh, okay, he's got a pulse, let's use him in teaching. No, it's important. And then likewise, the last reason is that faithful servants are to have a commitment to teaching. So it works both ways, right? So it's committed only to faithful servants, but then faithful servants are to have a commitment to teaching. Turn with me in your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. Notice here. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Ye ought to be teachers. Did you get that? For the time when ye ought to be teachers. The words ought to be in the Greek mean under obligation. You're obligated. As a believer in Christ, you're to be a faithful servant who has an obligation to teach the word of God. In verse number 12, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And so, if we really want to embrace fully the importance of teaching as it's outlined in Scripture, then you and I have to have an active part in this. Now, stop for a minute. I am not saying that everybody has to be a teacher of a formal class. I'm not saying that in order for you to be right with God, you need to teach Sunday school. Or in order to be right with God, you need to teach a class. We are teachers of the Word of God, both formally and informally. Right? We teach others outside of the house of God. We teach others in our household. We're able to teach the Word to others as we come in contact with them. And so I want to make sure that we're delineating here that there might be instances where somebody, they shouldn't be teaching. Can I say that? They shouldn't be teaching. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because that leads us to our second preliminary consideration. The first preliminary consideration is that we ought to embrace the importance of teaching. The second preliminary consideration is that we have to evaluate our personal inventory. We evaluate our personal inventory. So, if faithful servants are to be teachers, then we ought to faithfully evaluate where our skill set lies. Did you get that? We ought to faithfully evaluate where our skill set lies. Here's a question that each of us should pose. And I mean in the context of teaching. The question is this: where do I fit in? Do you understand why I say that? Where do I fit in? Another way of saying that is, what skills or resources do I have to work with? I will not be a rocket scientist working for NASA. You know why? Because I don't have the skill set. So it would be preposterous for me to interject myself into that, not having the proper skill set. Are you following me? Can you imagine if the Cleveland Browns held an open tryout and 54-year-old fat kid from the Bronx, Mel Kiberlin, showed up and said, I want to try out for quarterback? I would be laughed from here to infinity. Why? Because I don't have the skill set to be the... Think about it. We're talking the Cleveland Browns. Like, I don't have the skill set to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Okay? I couldn't be the skill set of the Bad News Bears football team, okay? It's not my skill set. So, when it comes to teaching the Word, we have to evaluate our personal inventory, and we have to be honest with ourselves. Where do I fit in? What is my skill set? Where is it that God wants to use me? Because if I'm attempting to be used in an area where my skill set is not what God has given me, it's going to be like chalkboard fingernails. You follow me, right? So you ought to ask, Are you a lay person who has a desire to teach and God can use you? Or has God given you a specific gift for teaching? Do you see the difference? There's clearly a difference, right? Let me ask it again, right? Because I feel like I'm talking. Okay. Are you a lay person with a desire to teach that God can use? Or has God given you a specific ability, a gift to teach? Do you know that there are people that have the gift of being able to teach? Do you know that? Then if there are people that are given the gift to teach, then there are people that don't have the gift to teach. Okay? Now, if the people that are given the gift to teach in Scripture are called pastors, are they the only ones that have the ability to teach? Of course not. Of course not. So there's a whole group of other people that have a desire to be used of God that maybe could learn how to teach. Are you following me? They could learn how to teach, could listen to instruction, and be very serviceable to God in teaching the Word of God. There's a difference. There's clearly a difference, right? So let's talk about that. First of all, before I move on, is everybody with me? Have I confused you? What I'm really driving at is that there's really two groups of people. There are people that have a gift and the ability to teach that God has given them, right? There are people that have a desire to teach and want to be used of the Lord, but they're not necessarily called of God to do that. You would not look at them and say, wow, that guy's got a gift. Have you ever heard somebody speak and you say, God's clearly set his hand upon that person. They have a gift. And then there are other people you say, I don't see the gift. That's a reality. That's a reality of life, right? Let's go back. I get myself in trouble every time I do this. But let's go back to the lady from my mom's church. The lady that sang all the time. Yes. Now, you've heard people sing that have a gift, right? And you say, wow, God's given them a gift. And then you've heard other people that, not your area of service. Not being harsh. But it's like, hey, it's not your... There's a lot of things you can do in service for the Lord. Singing isn't one of them, right? I'm not trying to be harsh, right? But you've heard things, okay? that it doesn't serve to honor the Lord in that, because when people are listening, they're not honoring the Lord. They're distracted. Now look. You might look at me and go, oh, preacher, you're in the flesh. I'm just saying what you all know. You know that, right? There are people that have the gift, and there are people that don't. Is God desperate to where he has to use people that don't have a gift because he can't gift people that he wants to have the gift? This is all in God's control. Who gives you your gift? Doesn't God give you your gift? So if God gives you your gift, you should not be upset about somebody saying, here's your gift, this is not your gift. And you might say, I don't want that gift. But you don't get to choose your gift. That's why they're called gifts. Okay? They're not wages, they're gifts. So individuals are gifted with a special ability to teach the Word of God. Of course, listen to these verses. I have 8 minutes, and I'll be done. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Verse 29, are all apostles? Are all prophets? How about this? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? What is Paul writing? He's saying that, you know what? Not everyone has the gift of teaching. That is no slight on anybody. God gives the gift. How about Romans 12, verse 6 and 7? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And how about verse 7? Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. This is a gift. Did you follow that? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Very simply, the gift of teaching is the ability to expound the Word of God in the church. Now this gift, hold on to your seats, is primarily given to those whom God calls to the office of pastor, bishop, or elder. It's true. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Well, pastors and teachers are the same office. How about the qualifications? 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Now the word apt to teach, or the phrase apt to teach, doesn't mean willing to teach. That's not what that means. It means skillful in teaching. That phrase is echoed in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." It is clear in Scripture that God gives a special ability to those whom He calls to fill the office of pastor, bishop, or elder. He gives them a special ability to teach. They are skillful in teaching. They are apt to teach. Now, listen to this quote from Gill. Brother John Gill wrote this in reference to the subject that we're talking about, being apt to teach. He says, apt to teach. He who has a considerable store of knowledge is capable of interpreting the Scripture to the edification of others, is able to explain, lay open, and illustrate the truths of the gospel and defend them and refute error, and who is not only able but ready and willing to communicate to others what he knows, and who likewise has utterance of speech, the gift of elocution, and can convey his ideas of things in plain and easy language, in apt and acceptable words, for otherwise it signifies not what a man knows unless he has a faculty of communicating it to others. So it doesn't matter what you know, if you can't communicate it to others, you don't have the gift. Just let's be honest. You don't have the gift. Now, why is all this important? Why does it matter? Here's why it matters. More is expected from the man of God who is called to preach. Let me prove it to you. If you've called me as your pastor and you say, "We believe God's given you a gift to teach the Word of God," do you not expect more of me when I stand up to teach the Word of God than you expect of Brother Layman? You better, because Brother Layman does not profess to be called of God. If you bring your car over and you say, "Brother Mel, you told me that you've been doing your own brakes for 15, 20 years. And I say, "Absolutely, I have. Would you help me do my brakes?" And I say, "Absolutely, brother. Come over, we'll do your brakes." Would you have the same expectation of me? You're paying me nothing, by the way. Would you have the same expectation of me as the professional that you go and pay $900 to get your brakes fixed? Would you have the same expectation of me? You obviously would not. Your expectation would be different with the person who is a professional who has that ability and that skill to do what, you know, I'm a backyard mechanic. I don't make a living changing brakes. I'll help you out. But I don't have the ability to do that. You get what I'm driving at? There's clearly a difference. That's why as men of God, we have to study. We have to apply ourselves. When we get up, we have to be ready to present the Word, because you should expect more from me than you do a layperson. Why? Because you give me a salary? No, because if I say I'm called of God, God has given me a specific special gift, and you have to be able to identify that gift. Now, if you come to me and you say, Brother Mel, I don't see that gift, then I have to say, well, you know what? It's not for me to say whether I have the gift. It's for you. You understand that, right? Oh, I want to let you guys know I have a gift. Yeah, you have a gift, all right, and it's not what you think it is. No, you tell me if I have a gift. And if you think I don't have a gift, then you should say, Brother Mel, we love you, but we don't think you should be our pastor anymore because you don't have that gift. And then I would say, I humbly submit, what took you 15 years to say that? Right? Why didn't you say it earlier? You could have saved me a lot of time and everybody a lot of time. You should have told me a lot earlier, right? But the point is that there are people that have a special gift. We are gifted. Those people are to be pastors and bishops and elders and to teach the Word of God. And God's people should glean from that and say, yeah, you know what? That guy's got a gift. Not because the person is great, because why do they have a gift? God gave them the gift. Hence, it's a gift. Then there are others. There are laypersons with a desire to teach others. These folks can also be used, right? There are people that have exhibited that they have the ability to learn the techniques to effectively communicate the word. I say again, not everybody should be teaching. But there are some people that say, you know what, I want to be used of God. And you hear them, you say, yeah, you know, you can do this. You should apply yourself and be used of God. And you should know where God can use you. Now, I'm running close on my time, so I quickly want to finish this up. I want to give you one example of where evaluating your personal inventory will help you. And that is women. Can you teach? Of course you can teach. But if you evaluate your personal inventory improperly, you're going to be injecting yourself into an area where you shouldn't be, right? Here it is. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So if you come to me and you say, I feel like I want to teach, let me teach the adult Sunday school class. The answer is no, because it's not in your personal inventory to do that. But if you say, I want to teach women, and I want to teach, you'll pay for that later. I want to teach women, and I want to teach young children, then I say, have at it. Because this is an area where in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, the aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh godly or holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. So you can teach, but you got to stay in your area. And then lastly, quickly, I just mentioned this in passing. The third preliminary consideration is you have to equip yourself after instruction. We're going to go through these lessons and focus on instructing you for teaching the Word of God and giving you resources. It's up to you to take those resources and use them. You know, in other words, if you have trouble presenting the Word and I've given you I don't know how many methods, then it's really on you. You have to apply what is given you, right? And I will tell you this. I have all the outlines from homiletics. They're there. Nothing has changed from any of that. They're there for anybody to use. We're going to get into those as we move on. Now, my time is gone. I've gone over. We're going to close again with a word of prayer, but I just want to encourage you to take these thoughts under consideration. There are three preliminary considerations in preparing for teaching: embracing the importance of teaching, evaluating your personal inventory, and equipping yourself after.